Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Have-Not.
Hey, Joe, what's up, buddy?
He's sick again.
It's mostly my fault, let's be honest. I didn't hear from these guys, but we're going to move the time earlier, but I wasn't aware of that, so...
Well, that's okay, but he was... He's under the weather, and, you know, he said, I'll do the show, but I won't be able to talk as much. And I was like, let's just let him feel better.
Right.
So hopefully we'll have him
feel better, right?
Yeah, feel better. You're our bud, and we hope you're feeling better. This week we've got a little bit of news. One thing I want to mention real quick is, and I've already started getting messages from people, and I got my Moonstone tickets to go down to Orlando and see Kiss. And I've already started getting messages from people that say, hey, man, we got to hang out. And we will. So if you're going down there, shoot me a message. And maybe we'll try to – I don't know, man. I think I'm going to go down – I'm going to try to go – if I could talk Karen into it, we're going to go down Wednesday, like night. Like right out of work or something, and go straight down there, and then maybe what we can all do is meet up at like some place. I don't know if they call it Downtown Disney anymore, but it's just like the bar, you know, area of Disney World, and we'll all hang out and have some drinks and talk Kiss and Kiss. Anyway, I'm not really a big drinker, so you might get to see some shit that night. All right, so let's talk about our news. On Kiss Asylum, there is a 40-plus minute interview from, I guess it's a new podcast or a video podcast called Movies, Music, and Munchies. And Paul Stanley did it, and, you know, they talked... You know, about everything, really. It didn't feel, I mean, except for the Soul Station news, it didn't feel like there was anything, you know, that new. They talked about the book. They talked about Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, that kind of shit. Anyway, go there.
It was a good interview.
Yeah, watch the video. Let's see. Okay, here was the big talk of the week. Kanye West and Bob Ezrin.
That's like, crazy, man.
Okay, so apparently Kanye, from what I read... I mean, Bob Ezrin, from what I read, said that Kanye West really has not advanced or whatever when it comes to, you know, rap or hip-hop like Jay-Z or MC Hammer or Tupac or N.W.A. And I think the word he used was sophomoric when describing Kanye West. And, of course, Kanye West didn't take lightly to this and, you know, basically... You know, called him old man and said that he shouldn't speak in public anymore and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, how do you feel about this, Jody? Do you think that Bob Ezrin pushed or...
You know what? I think Bob Ezrin's, like, completely right on the money. Like, I don't believe that Kanye has added anything to the hip-hop except maybe fashion. And who cares about that? You know what I mean? Like... I think that everything he said was, like, completely on point, and Kanye really isn't that talented in my eyes, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know why he just out of the blue decided to write some little essay on Kanye.
Yeah.
Even though I hate the guy, it's like, there's really no need to bring it up unless you know that you're looking for publicity.
Right. And does it feel like, why would he be doing that now? I mean, you know, obviously, I'm not sure Kanye knew who he was. By the things that he said, like, he wasn't...
No, he said, like, does anybody know who Bob Ezrin is? It's like, dude.
It's like, yeah, he was the king of shit, you know?
It's just kind of crazy to me, like, the division in those, in between, like, rock and roll and, like, hip-hop. Because, you know, he's acting like Bob Ezrin is, like, a nobody. When, in fact, he actually produced albums that will live on. And, you know, like, this hip-hop trend, I don't see it. And, like Bob said... 20, 30 years, you're not going to be talking about some Kanye West song that came out today because, like, the rap culture shit is every hot single is only hot for about a month and then it's dropped and it's on to the next one. It's disposable. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And then his Kanye.
You don't want to get me started on hip hop.
Yeah, no. Well, here's the thing. We were in two different things. I like some hip hop. It just depends. You know, I loved rap when I was a kid, and I don't mean as in like. I love Kiss, but I loved it because it was more positive and fun. It got negative.
It was new then.
Yeah, it got negative. It was new. You know, and you know, but anyway, but now here's where it got really weird. Amber Rose, who's Kanye's ex-girlfriend, I guess, and her brother, who's somebody named Young Platinum, apparently on Twitter. Pretended to be Bob Ezrin, and I guess a whole bunch of shit went down from that. that's so funny. But you know, that's crazy. The funny thing is that you know, anytime now you read these articles and they're mentioning Bob Ezrin, you see Kiss Destroyer in there, Kiss Elder, you know,
and right, I think it's like The Wall, yeah, Billion Dollar Babies, Destroyer,
yeah, all those Alice Cooper those. Albums, Pink Floyd, Peter and Gabriel, like, right?
I don't know about the Peter Gabriel.
I'm pretty sure I saw something Peter Gabriel. Just, you know, obviously he's been involved in tons and tons of good music. And most likely Kanye is sitting at home right now listening to some of it and going, man, I really like to steal that for my next song.
Exactly. It's like two different worlds. It's like Bob Ezrin actually recorded music by bands in a room playing actual fucking instruments. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's like, he's not just sitting there with some computer drum beat talking, you know? I don't see Kanye as art necessarily at all, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I do see some hip-hop as art. Because, I mean, look at Public Enemy. To me, that's art because it does make a statement.
Right.
But what is Kanye talking about? He's talking about money, hoes, and clothes, and cars, and just materialism, and it's horrible. I hate it. I don't hate many things, but I hate Kanye's music.
Yeah.
It's disposable, bro.
I wish he would smile every once in a while, I feel like.
I just look at him as like the court jester of a bunch of pop stars, and he's just like the Joker, you know?
Yeah, and for some reason he's got it out for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I don't get it either.
I don't like him, man. I just don't like the way he is.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from there. 14 years ago, Kiss played the Olympics. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay.
It was kind of cool, but not that great.
It was on a Sunday, and I have a personal story that's involved with this, which is kind of cool.
You were there.
No. Oh, God, I would have been amazing. Katarina Witt was one of the ice skaters on the oh, man, you couldn't have kept me off the ice. I'd have been, like, sliding on my belly like a walrus just to get to her. I'd be like, Katarina, I love you. Anyway, here's the story. On that day, we were supposed to be having a Kiss convention here in Atlanta, and Eric Singer was the guest. And basically, he wound up having to cancel last minute. So there was a lot of disappointment there, you know. But the cool thing was that he called in to the convention, you know, and we all got to listen to an interview. Now, cool. You know, and basically what he said was, you know, I'm sorry I'm not there, but this is the Olympics and I got the opportunity to come and do this. And, you know, and nobody blamed him. You know, this is once in a lifetime, you know, getting on, you know, playing at the Olympics. There's a billion trillion people watching, you know. Right. Anyway, but the most amazing part was the fact that he got Gene on the phone. Which was,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, so the people that were there got to hear a little bit of a conversation between Gene and the promoter, the name of the people that did it, Creatures of the South.
Right.
And that was really awesome because he asked Gene, I'll never forget it, he said something to the effect of, so when are you going to come and do our convention? And Gene goes, when are you going to pony up the money?
Nice.
Which is perfect, Gene. But so that was really cool because it was basically like I sat there and listened to an interview with Gene a little bit, Eric a lot, and then I went home that night and saw them on the Olympics, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I think it's always weird when you see Kiss on an event like that without the stage and, like, not really their whole rig, you know?
Yeah, they really blew it a couple years ago with that damn
Macy's parade. Oh, boy.
Damn, they really blew that, man. All right.
That was pretty much, yeah.
That was a cluster. Everybody still was happy to see them do it, but it felt like they didn't prepare Kiss for it, or didn't, you know, something. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to hear us talk about that, go back to our show we did right after Thanksgiving. This week, our topic. Let's see. Make the makeup, and on and off. Okay, so okay. I guess my question, was the makeup more important than the music, or was the music more important than the makeup? Like, for example, had Kiss worn the makeup but put out music that wasn't as good as what they did, would they have still made it? Would it, you know? You think that they would have still, you know...
Like, based just on the show alone?
Based on the show, based on the superhero factor, you know?
Yeah, I could see it being a possibility, because look at all the other bands that dress up, and their music kind of sucks, but they're still somewhat popular, you know? I mean, look at Gwar. I know a bunch of people that, when Gwar comes to town, you go, but I don't know anybody that actually knows many of their actual songs, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, Gwar's pretty fucking famous, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're, you know, definitely an underground superstar band. If they're, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where everybody knows, you know, if you know rock and metal, you know who Gwar is. Just because of their outlandish everything.
Show.
Yeah.
Just like it would have been for Kiss, right?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know... But I think it's a package deal. You gotta, I don't know, because Kiss, you know, made it to that next level that a band like Gwar or even like Wasps, I guess, didn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just next level shit because they got the songs and the show, and they were the first people to do it. I think that has a big part to do with it, don't you?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. When they took the makeup off, right? Do you think that...
It's a very big moment.
Yes, it was a very big moment. What do you think... Okay, so they took the makeup off, and there was their hype. So Lick It Up comes out, right?
Right.
Could they have left the makeup on and done that record? The music was really good, right? So...
I feel like... That's the whole reason that kind of saved Kiss, so to speak, is, you know, taking the makeup off. It was like, holy shit, check, remember these dudes in makeup? Now you get to see them, you know?
Right.
And I think it brought a whole lot of new fans back, and it gave them MTV. MTV wouldn't touch them before they took the makeup off, you know?
Right. So let me ask you this, going into the MTV thing then, do you think that they took it secretly in their own minds without saying so, they took the makeup off so they could be on MTV? Because they're sitting at home and they're watching, you know, all these artists on there that aren't like Kiss, you know? And until Motley, at least, you know, Motley put out videos, you know, but they were wearing makeup, but not the same style. But you know, I Love It Loud, you know, was a video that they played on MTV once, you know, every 6 months.
Yeah.
So do you think that part of the reason they took the makeup off when Lick It Up was coming out was so they could get a single on MTV?
I think it definitely had something to do with it, because at the time, I mean, MTV was the thing that was breaking. That was like the standard radio, you know,
right,
bands
that
were on MTV were selling huge amounts, and before MTV they weren't, you know?
Right.
So I think that it definitely had a
like
little bit
Buggles.
Of something to do with it. Yeah, I mean, no one would ever even mention that song had it not been, you know, the first track on MTV.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like its claim to fame. I don't think we would even know who the Buggles were if it weren't for that,
yeah.
You know?
The, So, you know, you always hear that when they talk, it's almost like, you know, we took the makeup off because I guess, you know, was it, did they feel it was old? What do you think? I mean,
Well, Paul was ready to take it off because he did feel it was played out, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, they had to, like he always says, they had to prove themselves as a band that they could do it without the makeup.
Yeah, but you know, if they
I don't think they had a choice in the matter. It was either that or just stop, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, if they would have, you know, this is the million-dollar question. You know, if they would have skipped Dynasty, Unmasked, Elder, and not done those records, you know, because before those three records came out, they were still huge. You know,
true.
If they would have skipped that era, you know, that disco slash pop slash Ezrin Elder era, and just gone straight to Creatures of the Night. Would they have still been as powerful? I mean, first of all, Peter couldn't play Creatures of the Night. Okay, I get that. Okay, my point is would the music have still been so, you know, great to their standard fan that when Dynasty came out they went, what the hell is this stuff, you know, that they wouldn't have abandoned them the way they did, you know?
I think it goes a little bit further back to the solo albums where they lost a lot of people.
You think so?
Try to put myself in that position. Like, if I would have been a teenager at the time and I would have been a big Peter Criss fan, for instance, you know where this is going, yeah. But I would have felt betrayed, dude, and Gene, same way. I don't know. And then, you know, to follow that with Dynasty, even though, you know, I love Dynasty and the solo records, but objectively, they're completely weak in comparison to Love Gun or Alive 2 that came before them, you know?
Right. Well, that's, you know, yeah, I guess
it's too big of a change. But the other point I was thinking about is like, okay, how long is the shelf life? I mean, any band that gets to that point, you only have a certain while before it's oversaturated and people get tired of it, you know? And so I think that's exactly what happened to Kiss, and it's happened to, you know, handfuls of other bands. It's like you get to this huge amount of level where everyone from your grandma to your 6-year-old brother knows your name, you know?
Yeah.
And then you oversaturate the market with all these crazy toys, and then people are just like, you know, I'm over it. There's something new now, you know?
Right. You know, and obviously Kiss knew, even though they would always say, this is the beginning, we're going to, you know, be here forever. You know, they would say that. They had to know that they had a shelf life. They had to, because that's why they threw so much shit at the wall, you know, to do and make as much as they possibly could in such a, you know, short amount of time. So you had the movies, you had the movie, you had the solo albums, which nobody had ever done before. You had the bubblegum cards, you had comic books, you had t-shirts, you had belt buckles, you had, you know, shoelaces,
posters, pencils,
trash cans.
The Kiss radio. You
know? So now no band had ever done that before them, and there's only one group I could even think of that came close to that after them. Before that, I want to say it was the Beatles, but I don't think they went to
Beatles and Elvis. Beatles, right? Elvis, and then Monkees. That's it.
But still not to the level of what Kiss did, right?
Nah,
after
I wouldn't
that,
say so.
The only thing that I can think of is, like, the Spice Girls. So the Spice Girls, you know, they had...
New Kids on the Block,
okay, right, New Kids. Okay, so New Kids on the Block, Spice Girls, although not rock and roll, they still took that page out of that Kiss, you know, playbook and said, you know, even in, and I know you have never seen the Spice Girls movie, I can tell you.
I have seen the Spice Girls movie.
Now, I will tell you, I love that movie. And there's a reason.
I've seen it more than once, yeah.
Okay, I like it because it's obvious in the movie that they don't take themselves very seriously.
Right.
Even to the point where they have a scene in the movie where their careers are over and they're all poor and living together and the kids are all, right. You know. And so if you look at the Spice Girls, they took the page out of the playbook that Kiss took the playbook out of the Beatles. So, and that was the Spice Girls, you knew every member. You know, they all had totally. Their own persona. They all had their own personality. They all, you yeah. know, they all sang, right? So,
yeah.
Now, and if you look, I mean, they lasted less time than Kiss did, you know.
That's because their music was terrible.
Well, we'll go know? With that. We'll go with that. But the, you know, the but also the kids that the especially the girls that were listening to that, they started growing up and it started to get, you know, right. they outgrow it. But my point is you see that this is, you know, Kiss obviously knew what the Spice Girls knew in that movie when they were in, you know, they knew, okay, we're, you know, how long do we have this? So then they go ahead and they do their thing and their popularity drops, right? And then they go, let's take off the makeup and let's do a record without the makeup and see what happens. So then they do that and Lick It Up comes out. And like you said, it's a huge hit. So what is it Nirvana? I mean, let's just say it. Did Nirvana and grunge blow what Kiss had the opportunity to keep doing? I mean, because, you know, rock was huge still right before Nirvana.
Right.
Nirvana comes out, and then it becomes grunge, and then it becomes, I don't like these guys Kiss, and I don't like these guys Motley, and I, you know, and all of a sudden the numbers all start dropping, and that, you know, what ruined Kiss without makeup? What do you think? I mean, the music was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I liked Revenge. I think grunge had a little bit to do with it, but at the same time, most of those grunge bands kind of grew up and worshipped Kiss, you know what I mean? And they were pretty vocal about it. I mean, we've talked about it all before, you know, the whole, like, Love Gun on the back of Nirvana's album. And obviously, Mike McCready from Pearl Jam's a big Ace guy.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of those grunge bands love Kiss, even though they were trying not to admit it at first, I feel like, you know. But I think that it's more than just the grunge. It was like at the time, this whole like 70s thing was happening. You had the 70s show that was like, everyone was into the 70s, you know? And who else besides Kiss? I think, but do you think, I've always thought that the kind of Eagles reunion kind of made Kiss think about it more than they would have otherwise, because it happened first and it was like, huh, look at how much money these guys are making. You know what I mean? Well, but isn't maybe the story that, didn't we hear on the Decibel Geek how they were actually in sessions for Carnival of Souls when Gene got the call about the offer for the $1 million to put the makeup back on? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to the bottom line is money, right?
Money. But, you know, do you think that they could, I mean, because when they were touring without the makeup for the Revenge, the shows weren't selling out. I know I was at Atlanta, the Atlanta show. It was winter. That's what I really remember. And I remember thinking, there's not as many people here as I'm used to seeing at a Kiss show. You know,
even compared to like Hot in the Shade the 2 years before or whatever it was.
Yeah, when I went, I saw them, you know, on the outdoor arena thing, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think that they, I mean, could they have put another record out and survived? No, right?
I don't know, man. I mean, Revenge sold well, didn't it?
It sold well, but the touring was,
yeah. I think that I've always thought that the convention tour had a lot to do with them putting the makeup back on, because they got to be in the room with all these fans with all the old gear, and they were seeing how the fans reacted to the old shit, you know. And even on those sets they'd play, it was the first time you'd hear something like Coming Home was on the convention tour, you know.
Right. And then, you know, and Peter got on stage.
Yeah. And so we then Peter then unplugged, and then it was so obvious they had to do it. But do you think that that phone call, what if that phone call hadn't happened and they weren't offered the money? It seems to me that it was kind of still heading in that direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they even, you know, when they did the Rise to It video and they put the makeup on for that video, it was like every magazine, Rip Magazine, Surface Magazine, they all made a big damn deal about the fact that they were, even though they're in the wrong costumes, you know,
right.
They put the makeup on for a video.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And at the same time, we had like the Bad Boys tour going around, and it all seemed like case a bunch of great episodes about, you know, like the reunion that didn't happen quite yet, you know.
Right, right.
That's really cool. But it always seemed like when I was a kid, you know, in my teen years, we would, when they were out of makeup, we always just used to talk about how great it would be to see them back in the makeup, you know. And I never really thought it would happen, but then when it did, it's like, holy shit, man, this is awesome. What's crazy though is we're into, you know, now that it's 2016, we already passed up the Grammys date where they had came out in the makeup for the first time 20 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And pretty soon, I guess it was in April when they announced the tour, so maybe in April we'll do a show about that or something.
Yeah, just totally amazing how time has flown.
That does not seem like it was 20 years ago.
No. I mean, I remember exactly where I was and everything else.
Me too, man. And everybody, like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and everybody does.
That's crazy.
I didn't even get to see it. I got home from work, and on my answering machine, you know, I had the tape answering machine. I had to rewind the tape.
Right.
You know, there was like 15 messages from people going, Joe, did you see Kiss tonight, you know, showed up on the Grammys? And then like a couple of days later, we had a Kiss convention, and I went to it, and
yeah, they were selling the tapes, right?
Of, you know, God, I want to say that was the I want to say that was the convention that Vinnie Vincent was at here in Atlanta, where he put the makeup on.
Exactly, I remember you told me this on Strange Ways.
Yeah, it's totally crazy, but yeah, the you know, God, it's just so amazing the way. So the makeup was more important than the music. Is that basically what we're, you know,
Well, let's look at it from the angle of, we haven't discussed how, okay, suppose Kiss had all these great songs from the first record and they never put makeup on. What would have happened? I mean, would they have even happened? Because Bogart supposedly was ready to sign them, you know, sight unseen, as the story goes.
Yeah, based on their music. But would Bill O'Coin have looked at them and seen that, not seen, you know, just saw four schlubs up there playing guitar, you know, and went, I'm going to, you know, I can do something with this, you know? Or would he have gone, this is like the band down the street, you know? I can sign the band down the street.
Exactly. Because, yeah, he was a visual guy.
So the makeup was important to draw the attention to them. The music and the show wound up being the hook that kept everybody there.
Yeah. I think, though, that if they, even if they hadn't met O'Coin, I think the songs are strong enough. I mean, they were better than most of the other New York bands. They were, you know, to me, they were better than the Dolls, and I love the Dolls. And they're musically better than the Ramones, and I love the fucking Ramones.
Right.
But I think they could have done it, man. I mean, they looked cool enough. Like, you see those, even like those pictures of, like, Cream, and the ones when they were out of makeup, just their street clothes. They look cool enough.
They look cool.
Gene looks a little strange, but everyone else looks pretty fucking cool. I don't know, though. It's hard to say. This is a pretty big debate.
If you're out there listening to the show, message us. Tell us what you think. You know, was the makeup more important than music, or was the music more important than the makeup? Because it's a tough one. It's a call. It's almost like you could have had the music without the makeup, but you, I don't know if you could have had the fame that they had, though. Without the makeup, you don't get the belt buckle. Without the makeup, you don't get the trash can, you know.
Right.
You know, or the lunchbox. Or, you know, the pencils.
Or 40 years of, you know, I don't think you get 40 years without the makeup.
Yeah.
Because the makeup has saved them twice, you know. Yeah. Well, three times if you count the first time.
Yeah, and their faces wouldn't have been as iconic as... You know, I would say that I could stick a picture of Gene Simmons next to a picture of Paul McCartney, and, you know, if you know a young person, I'm not talking about older people where they would know. Of course, we all know who the Beatles are, or, you know, or Kiss, You know, but if you were to take a 12-year-old and say, I mean, look, we've talked about it here. I walk into my son's school and kids look at my sweatshirt and they go, that's the Star Child. That's the,
the Star Child.
You know?
The demon.
Yeah. So obviously...
Go ahead,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think it bugs? I mean, Gene's got this huge ego. I think it would bug him to not be called Gene Simmons. Like, people know him as the demon. They don't even know that his name anymore. Like, the younger generation,
yeah,
you know?
I don't know. I guarantee enough people stroke his ego during the day that he doesn't care. And he
strokes it himself enough for
everybody. Absolutely. And I guarantee that he, as long as the money keeps coming in.
He's got no worries.
Do you think that, you know, I mean, and they've done, and now, okay, so now they've done the, all these, you know, 20 years with makeup on again, right?
That's so crazy.
They did 10 years with it, right? And then they took it off. Then they did 20 years with it. I mean, you know, they're doing unplugged shows right now without their makeup. What do you think of them, you know, calling up Bruce one day and going, let's do a tour. Possible? No.
I don't think that's necessarily possible anymore. I think they're pretty settled into the lineup that they have, you know?
You think that they're going, this could last, you know, this... They already think that this could go on forever, but do you think, like, I mean, what if they did a tour without makeup just themselves?
I'd go. I don't think that they would have
18,000.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like when we saw them with Def Leppard or whatever.
It'd be. God, I have such a bad cold. I'm so sorry out there when you're listening.
Hey, don't get the sniffles, man. You get a cue.
I got the sniffles. Anyway.
let me just say, man. I want to address that. We got a message. This dude thought I, you know, was doing some coke on the show. I just want to say I haven't fucked with coke in over like probably 20 years.
Man, well, so. I don't know what booger sugar is. That's coke, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I'm
baby.
An avid. Like I'll admit what I do. Everybody knows I'm a stoner, but yeah, I don't fuck with anything else.
Okay. Good. That's
don't drink. Don't do anything. Smoke pot. That's it.
Okay. And you know who you are.
Which is damn near legal, so.
We love you and we appreciate but I think honestly I'm betting that the sniffling more came from me because I have such a problem with it. Anyway, let's go back. Goodness gracious. So the future is not written, of course. I'm really interested in seeing what happens because, you know, they have very few shows this year. You know, I'm not seeing anything filling in for the summer. We got the show in April and then something, you know, I guess a couple more shows where they just played. And then we've got the cruise in November and then nothing. So is Paul letting his voice and throat rest, you know?
Yeah, well, he's singing falsetto all night now. Like, he's singing tonight. They're doing a Soul Station show tonight.
Right, yeah. And this is more of a falsetto.
So it doesn't tax him at all.
Right.
So, but I still would rather go see Kiss. I'd love to see the Soul Station. We've talked about it to death, probably, but I'm ready for a Kiss tour, damn it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm wondering if Soul Station is his way of to continue to perform, and that's what he loves to do, while preparing his voice or healing his voice, you know, or through, if it could even be done. You know, I can't remember who did it. Kiss FAQ, Mark Slaughter said he had the same surgery as Paul Stanley, right? And said,
well, I think it was Decibel Geek.
It was a Decibel Geek. And they said he came out of it perfectly. You know, he said he's not really sure why Paul had, you know, such the problem, but maybe he...
Paul's been doing it for 10 or 15 years longer, though.
Yeah, but maybe somebody suggested, you know, take it easy. Do 2 or 3 shows in a year instead of 50.
I think that if he's having, you know, obviously he's had some vocal issues after his surgery, but I've always kind of thought it came from his run in the 80s of just being outrageously... all over the place with the vocals, you know? Just so high and so wailing. I think it eventually taxed him out.
Lots of power.
Lots of power. Lots awesome. Of power.
Yeah.
But he's paying for it now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, if you guys want to... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, I was watching some reunion shows the last few days, and, dude, Paul sounds fantastical. You know, it's just crazy. And he wasn't really doing the 80s thing in the 90s, and he sounds phenomenal. But I still think he sounds good.
Yeah, that's our boy.
Totally off the subject. And the other off-the-subject thing I wanted... One more off-the-subject that I didn't... I forgot to ask you when we were on the subject, but what was your favorite Spice Girl?
Oh, Posh.
Posh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Victoria Beckham? Mm.
Yeah.
Who was yours?
I don't know. I kind of liked Baby Spice.
Baby Spice?
But see, for me...
She looks good now,
I wish they would have had a... Yeah. I wish they would have had, like, a brunette, though, you know, besides Sporty. Like a brunette version of Baby Spice. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a major thing for Posh Spice Victoria.
Right.
Oh my God. When she does that little wink thing where she does, I can't explain it. She winks and does this thing with her mouth and it drives me nuts. I'm such a fucking weirdo. Anyway, Victoria, I know you're listening. I love you.
She's
the movie,
supposed to be a guest, right?
Huh?
She's coming on the. She's
coming on the show. Absolutely. And I know people are turning off shit now, but in the movie, she, you know, when she falls in the river or the lake or the ocean, remember, that's one of the things that made the movie fun was that when she was getting out, and remember, and she said something about what's your problem, and she's like, this is, you know, dry clean only dresser, and I was like, see, this is cool because these people know that their career is not going to be forever. Anyway, that's off the subject, but all right, so I think we've decided that both were important, the makeup and the music.
Yep.
Maybe the music was important to getting them into Bill O'Coin's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And the music was important to getting them signed with Bogart. That's pretty much what we've decided. Bogart never saw them before he signed them, and O'Coin saw them, and that made him say,
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, they've proven that they can do it without the makeup, obviously. I mean, they were successful without it.
Yeah, no, good point. But they were already popular at that point.
True.
Yeah, so it wasn't like they were starting fresh like the have-nots.
We're not fresh.
Yeah, we're not fresh either. I already
old and played out.
Yeah, that's the way we work it. Anyway, all right. Well, I think we've finished on this topic. I appreciate you being here with me. And, Andrew, I hope you feel better.
Yep. And, Andrew, we're going to start doing it earlier so that we can have you.
Yeah.
And
Andrew's got a job that's very taxing. But Jody and I work nights. Andrew works normal person hours. So we're going not to tell you too much about him. But, anyway. if you guys want to send us a message, we do have an Ask Andrew question, but he's not here. And I'm going to – it's really funny because the guy that sent the message last night was – he sent two questions, and one of them was, did you ever notice that Andrew sounds like Jamie Hyneman from the MythBusters? And I was and I was watching MythBusters at that time, and when he said it, I was like, oh, my God, it's true. Which was really funny. So next week we'll get to your question. I'm sorry we didn't this week. And if you want to send us a message, podcast RockCity1. That's the number one.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. I don't have Andrew here. And please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Anyway, thank you very much. We love you guys.
And buy a shirt.
Yeah, go buy a shirt. Go to podcastrockcity.com and buy a shirt. Anything you have to add, sir?
I say thanks for listening, and we miss you, Andrew.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you guys next week, and we love podcasts and Kiss Podcasts, and we listen to them. And if you want to know the kind of shows that we listen to, you can hear the commercials right after our show in 3, 2, 1. Peace!
Peace!
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007... you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed. The Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Kistery Science Theater. The most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh, f***.
Please, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere.